The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Fearing God or fearing man? Wow. You know, here's what blows me away. Whether it be with the worship leader gets up, we haven't talked about this, and we talk a lot, but we really haven't talked about my message much. And several times, even the last song, Stand for Jesus, amen? Need to stand up, and really, how apropos is that in this day and time? Wow. Is this so hard to stand for Jesus? It's hard to stand for Jesus, and it's hard to stand for His Word, even in some churches. Amen? Yeah. And so, you know, he did some things and songs that was right along my message line, and he really didn't touch base on it. I think that's the way God does many times. Yeah, He's good. Fearing God or fearing man? Who do you want to fear? Well, Galatians 1:10, where I'm going to come off of the nine verses that my brother did last week. And I thought to myself, I think I can beat nine. I'm going to do one. I don't know when we're going to get through chapter one, but maybe next week. 10. Everyone there, give me an amen. Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1:10. Does anyone need a Bible? I'm not getting much of an amen. If you're there, give me a hearty word. Excellent. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, would not be a bondservant of Christ. I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For do I know? I'm also quit. I haven't been up here for so long. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Father, I ask God that you would bless this message. You bring my thoughts and minds to at your feet, Lord. And Father, that there would be people here today draw closer to Jesus and further away from the world. We pray in your precious name. Amen. Amen. I read a lot of A.W. Tozer. A.W. says, I have said it before, I will say it again. Now this man, back in the 1900s, this low concept of God is our spiritual problem today. Mankind has succeeded quite well in reducing God to a pitiful nothing. The God of the modern context is no God at all. He is simply a glorified chairman of the board, a kind of big businessman dealing in souls. The God portrayed in much of our church even lives today commands very little respect. We must get back to the Bible and to the ministration of God's Spirit to regain a high and holy concept of God. Oh, this awesome, terrible God, the dread of Isaac, this God who made Isaiah cry out, I am undone. This God who drove Daniel to his knees in honor and respect. I know the Creator and the God of all the universe to revere Him, and we need to continually. It is to bow down before Him in wonder and awesome of fear. Lord, I'm struck this morning with a sense of awe in Your presence. We bow down before You in wonder in awesome fear in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Solomon declared in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man is a snare. Yes, it is. Paul elaborated on this saying, if we fear men, we cannot be the servants of Jesus Christ. That's a bold statement, is it not? It really is. I would look at that and go, wow, man, is that me? Is that something that I walk in and do even occasionally? Because if I do, it disqualifies us. We cannot be the servants of Christ. In fact, trying to fit in with a social group, even on social media, that thing right there, it's gone bizarre, hasn't it? The Facebook, my face, your face, everybody's face. Look, I really don't care what kind of orange juice you drink in the morning. Keep it to yourself. And then there's all kinds of other twits and twats and all those things, you know, that you look at. And everyone's, you know, doing this and doing that. And everyone's on their phones constantly because of this social media thing. I would like to take every single man, woman's phone for a week and see if the country would just go to pieces. People jumping out of windows, things like that. Social media, it's crazy. Well, they're trying to fit in with the social media or that group on the job site or in the offices, trying to speak their lingo, laughing at their jokes, being cool like them. Well, folks, our word today tells me that will end in disaster. In disaster. Have you ever been, as a Christian, whether it be young or medium or old, you know, lightly baked, mildly baked, or burnt up with Jesus, have you ever stood by and let people tell some nasty, horrible jokes? Look, just the other day, in our cafe, here was telling me a joke. I thought, man, this is, where is this going? She's telling me that was at a gas station, and this lady had just put gas in her car, and she had got some on her arms. Well, she got in the car, closed the door, and she lit her cigarette, and her arm burst out into fire. And so she's in the car, Ray's trying to get in, the police is trying to get in, police came, they finally busted the door, got her out, and put her arms out. Well, she said, you know what, that wasn't half of it. She said, you know what really, really, really upset me? What's that? The police came and arrested her. What did they arrest her for? Illegal firearms. Possessing illegal firearms. No, I laughed. My wife was like, really? I went, honey, come on. You know, she used to be blind. I'm just kidding. I shouldn't have said that. Strike that from the record. And so there's some that Christians, we can enjoy different jokes, different things. But you know, because you know what? My spirit didn't have any kind of in it. Okay, nothing. It was really laughter within my soul. I needed it for that point in time. But there's some things that start that you would never tell in here. When I hear something and I go, oh, I wouldn't tell that from the pulpit, instantly the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, why not? Would you tell it anywhere else? Why not in the pulpit? And the Holy Spirit's right. What do we do with that kind of stuff? Have you ever done this? Have you ever, like, people's gossiping, talking about your pastor, talking about your friend in church, talking about anyone? And you just stop them and go, whoa, 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 whoa. You crossed the line. As a Christian, as people that are supposed to love one another, if you feel like that, pray about it. I don't want to know about it. Right now what you're doing is going, and you're dumping garbage right on me. I don't do that. And so if you have something, as Paul says, uplifting things, things from above, encouraging things to talk about, man, I'm all for that. Give me a joke. I'm even into that. But don't start that garbage with me. And the bottom line is, folks, and I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you, it's fear. It's fear of man. It's fear of not being accepted. It's fear of you. You're kind of out there, aren't you? You're the weird Jesus freak. Or, you know, you're too whatever. You're too godly. And so we have fear. We speak their lingo. We try to be cool like them. It'll always turn into disaster. Well, with the time that we have left this morning, which is not much, I'm going to have to get with the program. But you know, why should I change? I mean, it was late. He was late. And so thanks. Thanks for keeping up the tradition there. I appreciate that. With the time that we have left this morning, we're going to look at least three destroying attitudes, attributes, and conditions upon our life that the fear of man will bring. At least three of them. There's probably more. But this morning we'll look at those. And so without any further ado, the first one that I see, the fear of man brings humiliation. Now I'm not talking about the good kind. I'm talking about the kind that, you know, that embarrasses you. It's embarrassing. It's just horrible. Not the kind of humiliation that you're humbled out. It's the kind that you are so prideful or so arrogant, and then you get very, very embarrassed. I've been there a couple of times. I don't ever want to go back. We find a story in the life of David. And if you don't believe me about humiliation, you need to ask David, King David. But before he was a king, we find this story in 1 Samuel chapter 21. Now write that down and later go and read it, because you can't read every story here that I'm going to opine about. But write that down, 1 Samuel chapter 21. Excellent story. Fleeing from King Saul, David went to the Philistines, this Philistine city of Gath. Upon his arrival, the servants of Achish, king of Gath, said, "Is this not David? Did not they sing one to another of him, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s? Now this is after Saul run David off, and he was wanting to kill David. And so David had his mighty men, his 400 mighty men, and he was living alone in some city. And he thought one day, hey, you know what? I think I will go down to the Philistine camp, and I'm going to fight with them. And I'll just hang out with them. Maybe I won't fight with them, but I'll just be their buddies. And I'll hang out down there. Well, someone saw him. And someone said, whoa, ain't this the guy that's killed a bunch of Philistines? Oh, no, thought David. They know who I am. Oh, my goodness. So the word says he changed his behavior before them and pretended madness in their hands. He acted like he was nuts. He reduced himself. Let me show you. Let me tell you how much he reduced himself. He scratched on the doors of the gates with his fingernails until they bled, and let spit run down his beard. Ew. Everybody say, ew. That's pretty rough. Hope he wasn't chewing any deer jerky. At any rate, here's this man. Wait a minute. This is David. He's my hero, man. He's done all kinds of junk, you know, and all this, but yet the Lord still loves him, and he's a king, and he's, whoa, David? The guy that killed 10,000 Philistines? The same guy who killed Goliath, the same one noted for courage and valor that we all speak about today, is now falling prey to the fear of man acting like a full-bore idiot. The Bible calls it fool. In my eyes, that's absolutely tragic, folks. Absolutely tragic. Although his plan worked, and it did, David was humiliated and embarrassed even to this day. We're even talking about it now. I bet he's in heaven going, shh, shh. You know, can we strike that out of the word, Lord? No, no. Thousands of years later, we're talking about David playing the fool because he feared man. He feared man. You know, gang, it's amazing to watch teenagers and praise the Lord for kids like many more here today that will stand. That will stand and then stand some more. But I see, I was a teacher, a substitute teacher for 3 years at the high school. Do you know what peer pressure does? I like to bottle that and have you guys drink it, but put Jesus in it. You know, it's powerful, man. Peer pressure is powerful. At one time in kids' lives, they'd rather, you know, boot you to the curb and go live with their friends. Their friends are more important than anything in their lives at a particular time. You know, adults as well, especially today. Teenagers, adults, and even older people like me try to fit in. That's just what we do. We're human. We try to fit in. It seems like it gets really bad around the teenage years, and then it kind of gets a little better, then it gets worse, and then it gets worser. And I know that's not a word, but if we're not careful, if we're not right next to our Lord and fearing our God instead of men, instead of acting as biblical fools. It's amazing to see people try to fit in because they're afraid of man. Or afraid of peer pressure. It's amazing to see people who, like David, love God and have seen victories in the Lord in times of past, like Goliath, like the 10,000, but fearing man look like idiots with spit running down their cheek and their beards as they try to fit in and be cool. It seems like, you know, when you're a trendsetter and you've done all these things as David did, and then just because of a particular situation and time in life, he reverts to this foolish person and fearing men. That tells me something. That tells me that you can be just, man, 10 for 10, and you're standing up for God, and then the enemy, which is a dirtbag but never, never gives up, he will create something where you do something like he did, stupid, walk into the Philistine camp, not thinking he was going to be recognized, and then you're at some place or you're somewhere. My Waterloo is relatives. I'll go down south, or I'll get with some unsaved or backslidden relatives, and in my own family and my wife's family, they've got them both places, and then I will begin to forget who I am in Christ, and get fearful, and kind of want to, you know, fit in. It's amazing, I'll be sitting with someone, maybe an acquaintance, and they'll be cursing. And I'm a pastor, I won't say a word. Until they hit the GD, then that fires me up. Something in me, the Holy Spirit, I'll just tell them, hey, you know, kind of thing. Back off on that. And then, it's surprising to me that they just shut up cursing altogether. See, it's that thing that Satan puts in front of you that goes, oh, I'm intimidated. But let me tell you, church, if you just take a step and stand, all that will back off. People, usually, I've talked to people, I've had people, you know, cursing and saying, one time we was in a bus, this guy was using the F-bomb and all that, and I said, excuse me, my woman, don't do that. There's children, women, children around, and, okay, you all right? Usually I throw in the pastor thing so they won't, you know, fist me. But they immediately understand, they know what they're doing wrong. Unless you got some drunk person, you know, and then you're just forget to go away from him, run from him. But you know, most people know, don't they? But we have the fear. We are the ones that get intimidated. Should never happen. Never happen. Well, truly, the fear of man brings humiliation, because even the Philistines of the world says, and we can read it, you can read it later in 1 Samuel 21:14-15, he finally said, get this guy out of here. Ooh. And even the world today, when we get looped out, when we start fearing man, they know and they look and they go, just get out of here, man. We don't want to be your friend. Number two, if you're taking notes, write it down like this. The fear of man brings devastation. The spokesman for God, the prophet of God, Samuel said to Saul, Saul, you are to go down to the battle against the Amalekites. Now, the Amalekites were, these people were killing and eating their own babies. And God dealt with them for years and years and years. And finally, he said, it's enough. You know, we're gonna get rid of the whole bunch. He said, we're just going to get them off the earth. I've talked to them. I've sent prophets. They've killed the prophets. They are way out of line. They're rabid. You know, as in diseased. And we just need to get rid of them. So he uses Saul as his instrument to kill everything, exterminate them. And so God knows best, even though we think, ooh, that's horrible. We should try to send them to all kinds of worldly counsel. And maybe they won't eat their babies. Well, God knew better, right? And he said, no, we need to get rid of these people. And Saul, you are to go down and battle against the Amalekites. Amalekites is another, it's a symbol in the Bible of the world and of our flesh. So there's another thing for you that you can write down. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, it says, now you are to destroy all the men. You write that down, 1 Samuel 15, and read the story. Now you are to destroy all the men, women, sheep, and cattle, everything. And so Saul engaged the Amalekites in battle and was indeed victorious. Upon his return, he saw Samuel off in the distance, and he shouted, praise the Lord. This is Saul, King Saul. Praise the Lord. I did exactly what you told me to do, Samuel. Or did exactly what the Lord told you to tell me to do. Well, as a result, Samuel answered, then what's all that baying I hear? Well, Sam, the people wanted to bring some of the best sheep back to sacrifice to the Lord, answered Saul. The people made me do it. If you read that, it does. It's the people convinced me to do it. He listened to the people instead of God. He feared the people. Well, then, what about him? Asked Samuel, pointing to the man hiding behind Saul. Oh, him, that's Agag. I like that word. Agag. You know, he was a Philistine or an Amorite king. Agag, king of the Amalekites. I brought him back as a trophy, said Saul, because I feared the people. The people wanted to make him a trophy, you know, put him in the center of the town and throw rotten apples and tomatoes at him and all the rest. Didn't I tell you that all the sheep and the people were to be killed, said Samuel? The Lord requires obedience, check this out, folks, not sacrifice. That's important in our lives. Obedience, not sacrifice. So because you listened and feared the people rather than God, you will lose your authority and your God-given monarchy. Lose your kingship. However, this is not the end of the story. God always puts a little at the end of the story. It's a little extra. Years later, Saul was wounded in battle. With his last breath, he asked the attacker, from whence you came? In other words, where'd you come from? Guess what he said? Anybody? I'm a Amalekite. I'm an offspring of that Agag You see, he brought Agag back. And it was like 5 years before Samuel finally said, this is done. Forget this. He went up there himself and killed Agag. Samuel did. Well, in those 5 years, he got a servant of the palace pregnant. And guess who that was? The man that killed Saul. Wow. Can he come back and bite you? Oh, that little sin over there. It's everything's done, but this little bitty thing over here. And in years to come, it'll come back and bite you. It'll get you. You see, church, Saul not only lost his crown, but he lost his life because of the fear of man. God knows not only the future, but always knows best. Knows the future, knows best. Oh, man, God, that don't sound right. But he knows. He knows best. He knows the future. Finally, number three, if you're taking notes, the fear of man brings disqualification. Disqualification. In Exodus chapter 32, write that down, another verse or chapter you can read that's outstanding. Moses came down from the mountaintop, receiving the Ten Commandments from God. You remember that? Everybody. It was a movie. Charlton Heston. You remember that guy, that cat, right? He goes up. He receives the Ten Commandments. He comes down off the mountain to find the people of Israel dancing around a gold calf. And by the way, let me say this. Put this to bed because it's taught inerrant. The reason it wasn't a god, okay? It wasn't a god. The golden calf was a way to get to God. They always went to Moses. They didn't want to go straight to God. They had a chance to do that. And the people said, no, we're afraid of God. Please, I don't want to die. And so God said, okay, I'll tell you everything to do through Moses. Moses wasn't afraid of God. And so the people went to God through Moses. Kind of like, a little bit like the Catholic Church used to do. I don't know if they still do it, but like they used to do. And so that was the deal. So when Moses left for months, it was like, we got to get to God. Who do we pray through to get to God? And then, of course, they had the golden calf to get to God. It wasn't their God. It was just a mediator. It was a Christ-like thing, but it was an anti-Christ-like thing. You guys check that out? Say yes. You get it, right? Amen? All right. So anyway, here we go. Got a golden calf going on. Moses says, what? What's going on around here? I leave for a couple of months and the whole place turns upside down. He asks Aaron about it, the high priest. It's not my fault, Aaron said. And you got to read this, okay, because he actually said it. I listened to the people out of fear. They brought me their golden earrings. I simply threw them in the fire and poof, out jumped a gold calf. I'm thinking I'm stupid. Aaron, you got to come up with something better than that, bro. Come on. Yeah, the people made me do it. Well, let's see what happens. And gang, it was that Aaron and his lineage that was supposed to be priest for the whole nation, maybe forever, was removed from the priestly kind of ministry he could have had. Why? Well, because it was at this point that God instituted the Levitical priesthood for Israel. Now, why the Levites? Why did he take it away from Aaron and his, family and kids and everyone and gave it to the Levites? Does anyone know? Just give me a hand. No? Read your Bibles more. I ain't telling you. Actually, this is pretty cool. You see, it was only the Levites who said, we fear not man, but we will stand with the Lord no matter what others do. You can read it there in Exodus 32:26. Now that's cool. That's way cool. Don't you want to be a Levite? Don't you want to be able to say, I stand. I don't fear men. I fear God. That's who I fear. And then when God, all this happens and then God shows up, he goes, you guys stand down. You're my man. because you stood for me. That's what I want to do. That's how I want to be. Whether it be in this life or next. And so, I think we have proven biblically that truly the fear of man brings humiliation, devastation, and disqualification. Well, PB, those things won't happen to me, you might say, because see, I'm wearing a shirt that says, no fear. Well, folks, the new no fear mentality, I have to tell you, is a fallacy. Why? Well, because at any given time, we are either living in fear of man or we're living in fear of God. Either or. There's no in between. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man is a snare. I repeated that before. The fear of the Lord, on the other hand, is the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs 1:7. Now, what does it mean, the fear of the Lord, anyway? Does it mean to cower in the corner and shake and tremble? No, not at all. That fear, just like you ladies and submit, is way over. It's completely barbecued it and took it apart. Okay? By the way, you know submit, what that means, right? Literally, in the Greek, it means coming up underneath. I don't know how I'm getting away from this, but it's coming up underneath and filling all the empty holes to create a oneness. That's what that means. And I always say when I'm marrying people, I go, and guys, you know, we got a lot of empty holes, man. Need to be filled. And our wives fill them in creating one. That's all that means, guys. Okay? So don't wear that word out unless you know exactly what it means. At any rate, here the fear of the Lord, on the other hand, is the beginning of wisdom. Well, what does it mean then? It sure doesn't mean being afraid of God. It means being afraid of doing anything that would disappoint Him or sadden Him. It plays out like this. I heard from a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, his son had a chronic habit of misbehaving in Sunday school. Imagine a PK kid having a problem behaving. Okay. God's watching you, Matt, the Sunday school teacher said. So little Matt went home that afternoon after church and asked his dad if it was true that God was always watching him. Well, knowing the reason for his son's question, the wise father said, yeah, Matt, sure does. It's true. God's always watching you. In fact, he loves you so much, son, he just can't take his eyes off of you. As a result, the problem went away. It was corrected. And so, you see, friends, the fear of God says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your grace, your kindness, your forgiveness, your grace, your kindness. Oh, God, I don't want to do anything to grieve you. Proverbs 9:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, in the Hebrew, in the original language of Hebrew, which was written, please listen because it will bless you. It will bless your socks off. The word beginning there in that text doesn't mean the starting point like we think it does. It means the basis of, the foundation of, the basis of. In other words, the foundation of wisdom is to fear God. And here's it come. Here comes the giddy-up. Don't miss it. It's coming down the pike. Not only is the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom, but it prolongs your days. Promise there in Proverbs 10:27. You see, when you fear the Lord, your days are long, or in the Hebrew, literally means enriched. So maybe you don't live long. Maybe you live to be 38. Maybe you live to be 58 or whatever. But your days, if you fear the Lord in which you live, is enriched. Would you rather live to be 80 and miserable for 60 years? Or would you rather live to be 40 and enriched every day in the Lord? Of course, 40. Oh, no, 80 enriched every day. But it enriches you, enriches your life. The day that you live, you don't get up and grumpy all the time. You know, Grumpy Joe, I hope no one in here is named Joe, but I knew a guy named Joe and he was grumpy. He did not have the fear of the Lord. And so when you have the fear of the Lord, it enriches your life. So in other words, the fear of the Lord enriches your days and makes prosperous all that you do. Wow, someone give me an hallelujah. Yeah, man. The problem with this word fear is man has given it an improper definition of God. I mean, when we say fear, it means totally something different than when God tells us to fear Him. The fear of the Lord, then, is to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13 says, then, that because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, knowing God's loving gaze is fixed upon you every day, every hour, every minute and second, will cause you to steer clear of anything that is corrupt or carnal or evil. Does that make sense? If you're walking around all day, and you're going, you're aware of God's eyes on you. He loves me, man. His eyes are on me. He lives in me. His eyes are on me. It helps us to steer away from evil. It gives us boldness. But we have to remember that that's what's going on and remind ourselves. I came across a story in closing written by a pastor. From the time she was a baby, my daughter never went anywhere without her blankie. Anybody can relate to that? Come on, girls. Thank you. You're the only one. Never went anywhere without her blankie. As the day drew near for her to start school, I became increasingly worried, he said. But as we walked out the door together on that first day of kindergarten, I was as shocked as I was relieved to see her without the beloved blankie. Where's your blankie? I asked, somewhat fearful. Talking about fear. I am not going to let the boy see me with my blankie, Daddy, she said, and she never picked up her blankie again. By the way, unlike, she has a blankie in her closet all still yet today. My wife was telling me about it. I didn't know, it's see-through, you know. But ever since she's little, she had it. And every time she got into something, you know, and she was up, she'd take the blankie and she'd all like this and smell it. And today she has it all ironed and it's hanging on the hanger in her closet, which I think is pretty funny. But she never, this story, she never took it. So is it not true when you care about someone or something, you find yourself behaving accordingly? Or maybe a bit different. When you met your wife, when you met your husband, did you act? Did you, you know, there's things, I've been married 37, 38 years, and been together, I know 38, I think we've been married 36. But there's things I do at home now I would never do on the first date. Guys, right? Burp, things like that. And so, isn't that true? When we care, we change our behavior somewhat. And so remember, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence and a fountain of life, Proverbs 14 tells us. If you want to go through life confidently, if you want to experience a continued flow of refreshment, gang, live your life in the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord. Let the Lord be your blankie. Let Him be your blankie. I have in the past 2 weeks, tremendously. So let's get real, my friends, before we end this. Right now, you either fear what family, friends, coworkers, or neighbors think of you, or maybe even your spouse or your kids, or on the other hand, you are living in the fear of God, of our Lord. And so you're living in the fear of man trying to fit in like David, people will see you as an idiot. They will. Like Saul, you'll be destroyed, and like Aaron, you'll miss out on what could have been in your life. Fear of the Lord, fear of man. But if you're living in fear of God, well, your days will be prosperous. Your foundation, sure. Your life blessed richly. May the Lord give us a new desire and a new resolve to say, we choose today to give no place to the fear of man. Amen? No place. No fear to man. Let's say that. And it's going to get more difficult as time goes on. We choose instead to walk in the fear of God. According to Apostle Paul, only then, folks, listen, only then can we be true servants of Christ. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson. Let us be closer to you. And Father, my prayer today would be that we would not be confused about this message. It's not legalism. It's not legalistic. It's just the Word of God. In the days coming, I almost don't know if I say welcome, but there will be times in this world, especially in this country, I see it every day, that we could be fearful of man. Father, if we end up in prison because of you, then let us do a prison ministry. Father, we do not fear man and never will. We fear you, we honor you, we reverence you, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for your word. We thank you for, God, this thing that you're doing to us, bringing us closer to you, making us look more like your Son. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's stand for that song.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.